The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. And coming up on the program, we'll have a live performance by singer-songwriter Emily Otness, who's also a guitarist and pianist, although I don't know if she'll do the guitar today. I saw she brought it along. She also brought along one of her high school colleagues. She is still in high school, but has had a number of gigs lately, including one coming up on Friday at Indigo Artist Co-op, along with another band made at least partly of high school students and also partly college students, An Evening with Your Mother. That's at 8 o'clock Friday, and they'll be playing coming up around 12:30 in this hour. But first up, I have a conversation with a man who is sometimes known as Papa Doc. The Doc comes because he's actually a doctor of psychology at Carle Clinic in Urbana. And Papa, at least in part, because he and his son happen both to be jazz trumpet players, Greg and Jeff Helgeson, in that order, father-son. Papa Doc and his roaring 30s jazz band are going to be at the Esquire Lounge in Champaign tomorrow evening at 6:30, and it's a once-a-year event on Fat Tuesday. And if that name means only a little bit to you, and you're in a church context, it's the night before Ash Wednesday, so it's a big party night before you're supposed to become all penitent and remorseful and so on, and at least in part a New Orleans tradition. And so swinging blues or swinging jazz going on that program tomorrow night at the Esquire Lounge. We'll be talking with Greg Helgeson in a few minutes here, this portion of Live and Local. Just heard a little Jelly Roll Morton here on Live and Local, and that's by way of introduction to Greg Helgeson of Papa Doc and his Roaring 30s Jazz Band, something that's going to happen tomorrow night at the Esquire Lounge in Champaign for a Fat Tuesday show at 6:30. Greg Helgeson with me in the studio. Thanks very much for joining us.
How you doing?
So what was that tune we just heard?
Called The Chant.
The Chant.
The Chant.
Didn't sound very chant-like to me, at least not in the usual classical music context.
No, that's true. No, it did not sound like a bunch of monks singing, that's for sure.
No.
I think he was just playing around. Jelly Roll was probably playing around with different concepts at that time, and this chant is very unusual in the what we think of now as Dixieland, but more traditional jazz. Just an interesting tune.
You already brought up a question for me. I've heard the term traditional jazz, and I've heard Dixieland, and I've heard what I think is Dixieland music, and I would have called this Dixieland music, and I am frankly confused on what's the difference.
I think Dixieland, the title Dixieland came along in the 40s, and it was probably about the time when the white musicians started playing black music, or the black music of Jelly Roll Morton and others. And they probably, a little more complicated, but still the same idea of improvisation.
Dixieland a little more complicated.
Yes, I would say so. And in part because the musicians were probably better schooled. A lot of them came out of universities, and not all, of course. I think Jelly Roll was a pretty learned player. But I think Dixieland and traditional jazz, there's even a West Coast version of Dixieland that was done by Lou Waters, and he used two trumpets, and they were largely arranged. They weren't improvised, or there was some improvisation, but they would do much of their much of the first choruses would be played as though written arrangements, and we do some of those tomorrow night.
Some of the you do some written around at arrangements, and some that are you have the tune, and then everybody just kind of goes with it.
Right.
By way of contrast.
Right. Tunes that we all know, a tune like Tin Roof Blues, we would play pretty much from memory and put in our own little individual parts of it. There are other tunes by Lou Waters that we really have to read the first page or so, and then we get to stretch out and improvise. But you end up playing a lot of it as a written arrangement.
You and I were just talking before we actually opened up the microphone about at least my perception of Dixieland music, which I find quite fun, Dixieland and traditional jazz for that matter, that sounds like controlled chaos, even more than other forms of jazz. And I wondered why, if it's possible to explain why Dixieland may seem that way more than others, where, you know, once you get to, you know, the part where you can stretch out, you might have the clarinet player just kind of wailing off in this direction with all these notes and the trumpet player wailing off in this direction, whereas a lot of other forms of jazz, you'll have somebody take a solo, one solo at a time, and everybody else will sort of accompany. But in this case, it seems like people will solo all at once in addition to some other solos.
Right. Excuse me. Yeah, I think that's a legitimate concern. The way I think of it, or always have, ever since I was in early college and high school, is that it's almost as though a clarinet plays an obbligato part, much like in French opera or something like that.
Obbligato meaning?
A part that's written over that is played over the melody that's different from the melody. The trumpet ends up playing the melody, which is probably why I ended up playing trumpet, because I got to play melody. And the trombone ends up playing a modified bass part or tuba part. So you hear a trombone, instead of going bump, 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 like you might with a tuba, they're going bump, bump, ba-da-ba-dum, bump, 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 ba-dum, bump. So it's
and then they'll slide around.
That's right, yeah, because that's the only way they can stay in tune.
Oh, all you trombonists out there, you can get him later.
They will, too.
Yeah, but they've heard that before, I'm sure. So you said you got into this stuff at least back into high school, maybe earlier.
It was high school. It was 1950, probably 55, when I first heard Bobby Hackett and Jack Teagarden, and the particular record that I brought along, just a good example of their particular playing, very relaxed. Bobby Hackett was the fellow who, back in the 50s, did all the romantic trumpet and strings mood music for Jackie Gleason, but he was also this highly sophisticated Dixieland player.
And that was Hackett or Teagarden?
Both.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Who did the Gleason arrangements?
Oh, well, I don't know who did the arrangements, but it was
involved.
It was Hackett playing
Hackett.
Trumpet, yeah.
In there. Bobby Hackett and Jack Teagarden. Here they are on Live and Local. Heard Bobby Hackett and Jack Teagarden. Bobby Hackett, the trumpet player, Jack Teagarden, the trombonist, and this is from what's called the Coast Concert. And we discovered that the tracks are apparently mislabeled here. Greg, what was that tune?
Everybody Loves My Baby.
Everybody Loves My Baby. That was supposed to have been, that's not even listed on here. Interesting.
Mystery tune.
Mystery tune somehow or another. And so sort of a combination of, so the Coast Concert implying that this was on the, a representation of the West Coast sort of
it was
Dixieland traditional sound?
Pretty much just a traditional Dixieland sound. It was recorded in a recording studio starting at 5:30 in the afternoon and going all night, and it was a one-shot deal with those guys. It's an amazing record.
Greg Helgeson is bringing his annual group called Papa Doc and His Roaring 30s Jazz Band at the Esquire Lounge in Champaign tomorrow evening at 6:30. And I'm actually trying to picture it. It's become a pretty big place, the Esquire has. Where will you guys be setting up? In the newer half?
The newer half, yeah. We set up, they stick us kind of in a cubby hole. But the pool tables are back there, and there's a bar and a bunch of tables, and we're sort of in the middle of that against the back wall or against the north wall.
So how many are in the band?
There are six tomorrow night.
So you'll have two trumpets because Jeff
have two
is
trumpets.
Playing on that.
Jeff is on that, and we've got a couple of teachers, a former teacher, Carl Johnson, who taught for many years here in Champaign, Jerry Shalotto, who's also a music teacher here in town, Eric Lund, who's a composition teacher at the university, Mike Miller, who is our guitar player, and excuse me, our guitar player and our chemist. He keeps the chemistry of the band going.
That's Mike Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Eric Lund is the trombonist, and who else? Say Carl is
Carl Johnson,
wonderful clarinet player, and you said Jerry on the tuba. Yeah, well, that should be a fun band. You could almost call it the teacher's band.
You could do that.
Does this community have? I'm not sure that I've heard. There are other communities that have doctors' orchestras or doctors' bands of one kind or another.
Right.
Has this community ever had such a thing?
They may have, but I'm unaware of it, or there are probably some docs who are playing in different bands.
I know there are some docs who are singers.
Yes.
That they get together every once in a while. Mm-hmm. We know you've been playing for a long, long time, and have you just always had the concurrent interest in music and psychology and just run them parallel?
I really got hooked on the psychology part at the end of undergraduate. I have an undergraduate degree in music ed, and while I was taking one of my last courses, which was an ed psych course, I was amazed by some of the things that the psychologists were able to do with little kids, and that kind of hooked me, and I've been doing that ever since.
Have you had a particular focus in your work? Has it been working with kids especially?
Well, it started out that way because I was working in a institution up in Minnesota for the educable mentally handicapped. And that when I came down here, I ended up kind of being a jack of all trades as far as psychology was concerned because I was the only one.
The only psychologist?
Yeah, the only psychologist at Carl.
And now the place is crawling with them.
There's an infestation. Now we all have kind of a specialty, I guess, but I kind of remain eclectic, both in my playing and in my psychology.
Do you ever mix the two?
Maybe I do.
Not deliberately?
Not deliberately, no.
I didn't know if you know, if you continue to spend time with kids, especially, I've sometimes heard that psychologists can, or maybe it's more music therapists, will get music involved in certain kinds of approaches.
Oh, absolutely! I think music is a wonderful therapeutic instrument. I mean, that's part of my therapy is playing.
For yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
But you haven't brought it into your practice in any way?
No.
You never haul your trumpet into the
only on very snowy, blowy days when nobody's going to show up. And I'll bring in a guitar, or I'll bring in a trumpet and maybe fool around.
So you said you're, and how do the other docs like that?
I do it in very dark, secluded, quiet places.
And very muted, probably.
Probably.
Does, you said you're eclectic in your trumpet playing, meaning?
Well, I've played in orchestras in the past. I've played in show bands and played in pit orchestras and right now I'm in a concert band out of Parkland and it's actually called a wind ensemble because it's a small scale down concert band and I also play in a big jazz band. So
which one is that?
The In Your Ear band,
right
out there.
So, but this one is just a once a year thing. How long ago did that start?
I think we've been doing this at the Esquire for about 5 years.
And it's the same group or kind of whoever you can get in a given year?
It's kind of evolved into the same group. You can't always coordinate Easter and Fat Tuesday and all of those things with everybody's schedules. So if we were working, you know, once a week or something like that, that'd be different because then you can really count on the same people.
So do you spend any time rehearsing before you lead up to this, or you just give them the date, they say they can come, and then they come and do whatever you tell them to do?
Well, they come and they play, and sometimes they do what I'd like them to do. But we have fun. I mean, it's fun music. It's supposed to be happy foot-stomping music, and we try to keep it not too serious.
Do you have to send out a list of potential tunes to make sure that you know what they know?
Not usually. I pretty much have a handle on that, and I have some charts that we read from the West Coast bands. And, you know, we try to emulate some of those bands.
So in this case, it's helpful to have people who are music teachers and do read.
Absolutely.
Because there's lots of jazz players who don't so much.
That's right. That's less so nowadays, though.
More read than used to?
Oh, yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I think as they come up through the schools, they're being introduced to a more complex kind of jazz, more complex harmonies, more complex rhythms. And you asked me earlier about music and psychology. I think that there's some demonstrable evidence that if kids are active in music, they also do better in school. And I don't think it's necessarily one-to-one causation, but it's certainly worth keeping your kid in music. And now you could probably argue that, well, it's only the smart ones that go into music, but, you know, we don't know.
We don't know, and that would certainly keep your brain active in lots of different kinds of ways that could very easily feed the other, quote-unquote, more intellectual stuff that you're doing.
Yeah, we used to talk about left brain and right brain. Left brain being very analytic, reading and things like that. Well, the right brain was very sensory and intuitive and fit better with music, actually, some kinds of music. I think now we think of it as forebrain and, you know, the back of the head and the front of the head.
Which obviously then both combine those things.
Well, hopefully, yeah.
Somewhere, if they're working right.
Yeah, that's right. Even, that's it.
Even people with active brains may not be working right.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm a good example of this every day on this show, I think. Greg Helgeson is Papa Doc with his Roaring 30s Jazz Band, who'll be at the Esquire Lounge in Champaign tomorrow evening at 6:30. We have a CD you brought along here, Don Goldie's Dangerous Jazz Band. Don Goldie was somebody who I had not heard of.
Yeah, he was the son of a fellow who played with the Paul Whiteman Orchestra, and he just knocked me out. I heard him with Tea Garden back in Minneapolis in 1959 or 60, something like that, and he's a wonderful player.
And he's the trumpet player also.
Yes.
We're starting with the opening track. You know what that is offhand?
Hindustan, I think.
Actually, I've got it right in front of me. And not even listed here. How about that? Well, you'll know quickly. I won't, but you'll tell us after. It's Don Goldie's Dangerous Jazz Band here on Live and Local. The tune was called Hindustan with the Don Goldie and his Dangerous Jazz Band, courtesy of Dr. Greg Helgeson, who is Papa Doc and his Roaring 30s, who will be with his Roaring 30s Jazz Band at the Esquire Lounge in Champaign tomorrow night at 6:30. And he's been my guest this portion of Live and Local on FM 90.9. Illinois Public Media is 90 years old, believe it or not. We'll kick off a year of memories and celebrations with a visit by Andrea Seabrook, who is a congressional correspondent for NPR. Join Andrea and the WINL news team for a wine and cheese reception at Campbell Hall on Wednesday, April 11th. Tickets are $25 per person, and you can call 217-333-7300 for reservations. We have support for our broadcast today from Community Blood Services of Illinois. Donated blood saves the lives of the injured and critically ill. There are no substitutes for donated blood, and donation takes only 45 minutes. Blood donation, it's about life. More information is on the web at bloodservices.org. My next guest is, guests are, Emily Otness, who is a singer-songwriter, who is a senior at Urbana High School, and she has brought along a colleague of hers, Andreas Ruiskert, who is, what year are you? You're at Urbana High School. You're a junior at Urbana High School. And Emily is the singer-songwriter and pianist, and Andreas has his viola along and may do some singing also as well.
Yes, indeed.
And both have been on the show before. Emily's been the focus before. This is your third appearance on here.
I think this is actually my fourth because I did a quintet for the ECIYO.
Oh, for the Central Illinois Youth Orchestra. Yeah, we had the wind quintet that you played in. A couple of years ago.
Yeah, have been sophomore year.
Yeah, sophomore year. Ah, I lose track of all you people. The next thing you know, you're going to tell me you've finished grad school and have become a doctor of this, that, or the other thing. So I have, you know, when I first heard from the most dubious possible source that, Emily's really good, you should have her on your show sometime, which is to say her mother.
The mom endorsement
is always dubious because, of course, moms always think their kids are wonderful. In this case, mom happened to be right.
Oh, well, thank you.
Came on with your group was at the time called Endless Pages.
It was. And we still perform, actually. Sometimes I ask Tessa to come and play a few songs before I have a show of my own just to change it up a bit. And, we have a lot of fun performing together, so.
Yeah, so we meaning myself and Mike Pritchard, who's our sound engineer, were both, remember, I told you this before, he came back and said, these girls are really good. And lo and behold, it was true, so I'm happy to have you on, you know, whenever you've got some new thing going on, including, I have in my hands here, Against the Wind EP with Emily Otness. Is this, I haven't, you just handed it to me, so I haven't heard it. Is this Well, I was going to say, is this just you? No, it isn't. I see other people who are on here, including a cellist you had with you last time.
Mm-hmm. Margaret Camp Blair, and then Andreas is actually on it.
There
a lot
he
of
is.
Songs. How many songs are you on?
Two, I think.
Two?
I think.
You.
Sure.
We have a song called Waltz, which is just an instrumental, but when I perform it live, Andreas usually plays, but that's the one where Margaret plays the cello on the album, so I work with a lot of my friends. It's really fun.
How did you decide to get viola involved, or even cello for that matter? Just because they're your friends?
You know, I'm not really sure how I asked Andreas. I think that, did I ask you to play live with me first or perform on the album first?
Live first, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we recorded this album in the summer, and we were in a little garage that was our studio with no air conditioning, because then you would hear it on the tracks, and many technical difficulties happened, and we had to do takes again. But it was a really fun experience, and so Andreas and I have been performing since the summer, I guess.
What do you have for us first?
This is called Ocean Eyes, and it's something that I wrote recently. I guess to explain it, I really like the dissonance in the music, and it's something a little bit less traditional that I've written, so it's my favorite song to perform by far, and it's also a personal one, which is good, too.
We'll hear why, I guess.
Yes.
Emily Otness with Andreas Ruiz-Gert here on Live and Local, live in our studio.
Like the ocean, and I'm sinking deeper and deeper and deeper. Oh, oh. And your hands are softer than summer, the only hands that ever comfort my soul. And I'm just a dreamer, dreaming of things that I wish that I had when I feel alone. And you stand in front of me perfectly, everything I ever wanted, but I'll never know. When the water's warm, I wait, and the wind starts calling my name, I wish to God I could stay in your ocean eyes. I
Ocean Eyes by Emily Otness, who is the singer and pianist with Andreas Ruiz-Gert on viola here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. They're going to be playing on Friday at Indigo Artist Co-op in Champaign, downtown Champaign. That's at 8 o'clock. And that includes another group that has at least one high school person and one college person. I can't remember how many others and where they are, but called, with the wonderful name, An Evening with Your Mother.
I play with them a lot, actually.
Do you?
Well, out of any group that I collaborate with or, you know, arrange shows with, I bring them in because they have, you know, the other high school following, and I'm Urbana and they're Champaign, so it's just fun.
Oh, well,
to
that's
see
important. Comes. Yeah, bring the whole community.
Bring the whole town.
You know, I'm still pretty new to this whole, probably about as new as you are, frankly, to this whole band scene, because I've been doing Live and Local for 3 years as of earlier this month. And I know that you just kind of got this songwriter thing going probably about as long ago as that.
I think I've been doing solo things since the summer, so actually not that long at all.
Yeah. So it's just been interesting to me to find out that there are high school kids doing this sort of thing in clubs and in galleries. I mean, do you run into a lot of other high school bands? I mean, I think of high school bands like garage bands in the typical rock band sense.
I think that this town has a lot of diversity when it comes to high school groups. I've seen groups performing out as young as middle school, like 8th grade. There's a band called Elephant in the Room, and they won Battle of the Bands, or they participated in it. I can't really remember the specifics, but it's really impressive. People are using, you know, the resources that they have to make music with each other, and it's really nice.
Andreas, are you in any involved in any other sorts of things like this?
Not really any other high school bands. Like, I basically just heard about Emily doing a lot of shows and asked her if I could.
She could just jump in.
Jump in, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he has a great ear. If I ask him to play something, he'll play it right. He can play, you know, pretty much the melody instantly, which I really appreciate because that's something that I can also do. So it makes our rehearsals go way faster than I would have to. I don't have to write him music. He does it all by ear.
Well, that was actually going to be my next question, which is when you have an instrumentalist like Andreas or like Margaret on the cello, do you write out their parts or do you just let them fit in, fit their voice into what you're doing and kind of work it out on their own?
I've never written out a part for anyone. Margaret wrote out her own cello part, sort of based off the sound that I was looking for and the register. Like, I'd like it to be low here, I'd like it to build up here, and she just kind of took it and she writes notes for herself and stuff, but I've never written the music out for anyone.
I'm looking to see what Andreas has in his piece of paper. It looks to me like it's lyrics. Just the words.
It's just lyrics. For
so, so does that mean that what you play on Friday, if you do this song, assuming you'll do the song, that what you play, Andreas, might be different than what you just did play?
Definitely. It's never exactly the same between two runs.
Yeah, he has a lot of freedom with, you know.
I guess both of us do.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that we were going to be going from one improvisational genre, in the case of Dixieland jazz in the first half of the show, to kind of another mix of written out and improvisation, because we were actually talking about that there, too, with West Coast jazz arrangements, where Greg Helgeson was saying that, you know, the part of the charts would be written out, and so the band has to read the arranged part of it, and then they sort of cut loose a little later. In a way, that's happened about halfway through this in a very different sort of way, obviously.
I've never written out any music for any song. The only way that I remember a really old song is if I have a recording, and I have the lyrics, so.
So even your own stuff you don't write out?
No, never. It's all in my head. But I guess next year when I go to college, I'll have to learn how to do that because I'm going to be studying songwriting at Belmont University in Nashville. So
you're the second person I heard just talking about Belmont, and I think it was Alea Weibel, who is in An Evening with Your Mother.
This place that's exciting.
Place that she's looking at. Anyway.
It's a very cool school. For me, the most important part of my college experience would be the location, because Nashville is such a great music town. I'll just have so many opportunities there. Like, this town has provided me a lot too, but there's even more in Nashville, so.
Well, yeah.
Very, very many.
Very different kind of town. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. We have a fun travel opportunity for you coming up in May. Fly to Washington, D.C. with WILL. You can come with us to the nation's capital and spend 4 days touring the city, including a stop at the NPR studios. Our trip will leave from Campbell Hall, which is where we're located here, where our studios are located, the home of Illinois Public Media, on May 4th and return on May 9th. Call 217-333-7300 or visit our website for more information. That's will.illinois.edu/willtravel. Or I'm sure you can just find it by going to that website, will.illinois.edu. What do you have next?
This song is called Missing You. And usually I play it on guitar, but I thought, you know, for the sake of the sound, it would be pretty on piano as well. Sometimes I just go back and forth. So, and this one, Andreas will be singing the background vocal part. Haven't seen you in a while, 'cause things are busy now. Time is passing by us, but we figure it out. I just wish that I could reach you, but I'm not sure I know how. It's been so long and still I dream about. Haven't gotten to hold you like I held you before. Feeling like I don't know you, don't know you anymore. But you say it's fine, 'cause you are mine, and you know that I'm yours. Sometime you really try to love me like you did before. Busy now. time is passing by us, but we figure it out.
Oh, that was nice.
What'd
you call that?
Missing you.
Missing you. Yeah, you made me think of back when I was your age. However long ago that was.
In the Stone Age.
Hey! Not that far.
I'm just kidding.
I actually enjoyed talking with Greg Helgeson earlier because he was talking about having been introduced to some of the jazz that we were playing long before I was born. So I felt much better about that. But in any event, no, you made me think of back then and a couple of particular relationships and theme songs I had running through my head because of somebody that I was particularly interested in. And I can't remember I probably could remember one of those songs in particular. It was really very sad to me because it was somebody I couldn't get. And she was interested. I don't even know if she was interested in somebody else, but she didn't seem to be interested in me, so that was very sad. So I had this other song, of course, that somebody else had written. Somebody with your talent can make up your own song that becomes your theme song, either for a relationship you're in or a relationship that you were in or a relationship that you would like to be in.
This one actually was a personal one, and I wrote it near the end of the relationship, and I just felt very satisfied after I wrote the song. Writing songs is really a good way to express yourself, you know?
So then will a song like that go through your head a lot, or having written it out and maybe performed it, that clears that? Does that help to clear the emotional?
I think it actually does help to clear the emotional problem because it makes it clear what the problem is. And when I'm finished the song, I can look at the lyrics and know that I made my message, you know, happen. I remember the first time I performed it, I just felt very, very satisfied.
Cleansed?
Yes, that's a good word to describe.
Wash your hands of that dirty relationship and on to the next one?
On to the next one.
Boy, I wish I could have done that. I wouldn't have lingered so long, maybe. I you know, I've often wondered how much songwriting can be. I mean, I would think it would have to be therapeutic, whether it's about personal experience or not. Have you ever gotten it writing songs? You got a beautiful voice, Andreas.
Thank you.
Yes, he does.
Usually, I don't know, I have trouble writing songs. Usually I can't just, like, come up with a theme that I can develop. Usually, like, Emily, we'll have a show, and then, like, 2 hours before the show, she'll be like, oh, I just wrote a song today during school or something.
That's usually how it works, because the show is my deadline to finish the song.
Yeah.
So I have, you know, I try to have a new song every couple shows, if I can.
So how many have you got by now?
Probably be like 30, but I only perform, like regularly, I only perform 20 or less.
But it'll be a different 20.
Mm-hmm.
As time goes. And there's probably some you've written and you said, I don't want to do that anymore. That's not me anymore.
Yeah, or I'll perform one so much, like on the album. I sang those so much because I was recording them that I just did not want to sing any of them ever again. But the reason I have a lot of songs is because most of my songs aren't actually about my life. They're just, I'll sit down at the piano and start singing and playing, and then it'll turn into some theme that someone can relate to. It doesn't necessarily have to be me, and that's why I really find the business aspect of songwriting interesting, because you have to be able to, you know, just come up with a project and, you know, finish it in a certain amount of time.
And that's something you'll be exploring more once you run off to Belmont in the fall.
Yes.
That's good that you already know where you're going.
It's exciting. I'm really excited.
Yeah. We're listening to Emily Otness and Andreas Ruiz-Gert here on Live and Local. They're going to be at Indigo Artist Co-op on Friday night at 8 o'clock, along with another band of at least partly of high school students, An Evening with Your Mother. I know they've got at least one college student as well in there. And also, let's see, some of the other upcoming gigs. You're going to be playing on WEFT Sessions, which is for another station in Champaign, WEFT. They have live shows on, you said March 5th?
March 5th at 10 p.m.
Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Also then at the Clark Bar in Champaign, not quite in downtown, but just outside downtown, March 13th.
With Pamela Makla.
Who is another singer-songwriter. She's in college by now.
She went to Oberlin. I think that she graduated.
Really? Already? Okay.
And yeah, it seems like it just went.
So March 13th, what, you know the time of that one?
I'm not sure. I think it might be 7, but I don't want
to. We'll have it on our calendar and try to make sure to mention that. And then coming up later in May, you can look for Emily's name when they publish the schedule for the Boneyard Arts Festival.
I think it's actually in April, the show that I'll be playing. I think it's on the 21st of April at Heartland Gallery. It's
just time not sure yet.
Yeah, time not sure. Yeah. But they are selling my CDs in their shop. So it's really exciting. I met Jan Chandler, the woman who runs the shop. She came to my show at the Iron Post last week, or 2 weeks ago, and she asked if she could sell my CDs, which I found to be very honoring. I thought that was really nice.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Jan is really supportive of music. She has a wonderful, I really like her gallery, and she often has concerts there. During the CU Folk and Roots Festival, during the Boneyard Arts Festival, she'll host some of the concerts put on by the Piper's Hut series, which is Celtic music. And which is her focus of the
Heartland
gallery.
Gallery is,
but she also has a lot of art from local artists of many kinds.
That's true, and that's why I think she's supportive of me playing in there. She has a lot of art from people in Rantoul. I thought it was really neat. Her shop has so many things in it.
And that's right on Main Street in downtown Urbana. So you can look for Emily's CD. It's called, actually, EP, technically speaking. It's called Against the Wind. It has 6 songs on it featuring Emily's creations, of course. Drums with Eddie Wallmeyer. Bass, Michael Meadows is on there. Cello, Margaret Camp-Blair, we mentioned earlier. And the other guest today, who is violist Andreas Ruiskert. And Emily on keyboards, vocals, and guitar, and of course, writing all the songs.
And flute, which I forgot to write, actually.
You didn't put that on there.
No.
And of course, that's how I know you initially, is as a wonderful flutist.
I still play a lot. I didn't do band last semester, but I am this. I've discovered that after my break of playing the flute, how much I really, really love to play. I think I wore myself out a little bit initially, and so now I practice more than I've ever practiced, and I don't have as many outlets in which I can play because I don't do youth orchestra and all that. But I'm starting to do flute choir again, and I know I'll play flute in college, so.
Yeah, good. Well, they'll support you, all kinds of that stuff.
Yeah.
Once you go off there, they'll let you play wherever you want.
Mm-hmm.
The more playing you do, the better. Well, we have support for our station here on Live and Local from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana. With wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer, wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. This is 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I want to make sure to give you a chance for another song. Hopefully we'll fit it in before the show is over. And what do you want to go out on?
Do you like to play waltz?
Yeah, definitely.
The instrumental, which is on the EP.
It is. I think that the last time I was on the show, we actually played the CD version, but live is very different because the cello is not there, and this time it's viola, so he has a higher, more of the melody, almost, or the counter melody, at least.
Didn't you have a third instrument involved in the recorded version?
I have the flute, the cello, and the piano. I think that's it. But it's a very full sound on the album. But I just think it's really fun to play with Andreas because he's very expressive. So
thank you.
So it's a live take of Emily Otness's Waltz with Andreas Ruiskert on Live and Local.